I just sat there and finished the entire bottle of wine by myself.
Really?
The whole bottle of
wine? The whole bottle of wine by myself.
What was it? Like a rosé? Pinot?
No, no Pinot. It's a little too bitter for me. It was rosé, I think, okay. is what it was. It was nice. I can tell you, I love Olive Garden.
Yeah, those wine deals you can get at Olive Garden are pretty good. Yeah,
$15 a bottle.
I just stayed at home and had caviar and crackers all night. Dang. And then I had... Yeah. Yeah, and then when I decided to go out, I had a driver for me, honestly, waiting in my parking, in my driveway.
It's frustrating.
I've been thinking about getting one of those.
It's frustrating, though, because I've also got a driver, and they never park the Tesla exactly how I want it to be parked. But, you know, that's besides the point. We've got a lot of stuff to get to today anyways.
Real serious topics.
Yeah, this is part two of For Those Who Need to Know, so welcome back. Last week, we tried to get through everything. Well, not everything. We know we're not going to talk about all the topics that we have because, like we said last week, we've got a wheel spin and a dice roll that is determining what topics we discuss.
I mean, could we really talk about everything, though?
I don't
How long
think
would
so.
It take to talk about everything?
Well, considering that we only got through, what, seven? The first episode, and it took us around 40 minutes. So if we would be here for a couple of days.
Yeah. We really didn't even discuss those things, really, the meat that they deserve.
Oh, right. Well,
we were just an hors d'oeuvre.
You gotta think about it. We've been doing All You Need to Know for like 2.5, almost 3 years now?
Actually, 4 years, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, over 4 years.
You guys have almost attacked every subject that exists.
You would think so, but then every time
close.
We find a new one, it's like, man, it's not even like scratching the surface.
So what you're saying is you're just beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Once we get to around episode 1,000, we're around the 180s at the moment. So once we get to the 1,000 mark, then we might be like, okay, we're
almost
really scratching the bottom of the barrel. Yeah, we almost did. Yeah.
But now, hey,
the fans want us back.
Did you tell Ed about the news from a couple weeks ago?
Our new album?
Well, the new album's going to be huge. Well,
it's
going to be huge. All the songs are already out. No, I was talking about we're up there in India.
Ed, I don't know if you heard about this.
Oh,
and I would have to pull up the email real quick.
I'd love to see it.
This is legitimate.
Yeah.
I can't.
While you're looking for the email, for those who inquired, I'll tease it for a split second. It's only existed in 50 episodes, but it is a kernel from where Neil Bradley, voice of the Murray State Racers, and myself
have been
Velvet Voice, just amazing calls. He is hilarious. We talk a lot about racer athletics, but we talk about a lot of different things too. I've been able to have a few other guests intermingled in between everything. I was lucky to have Berlin Brower from McCracken County Boys Basketball before they went to the state tournament. Talked to Aaron Beth before the girls, Marshall County girls, went to the state tournament. What a run. Mm. What a run. Had Jay Nimmo before he won his state title. Yeah. I've got a few others in the bag that I think maybe later on this summer I'll explore.
Yeah.
But Neil and I have actually been doing a weekly show for 5 years.
Wow. Awesome.
And we just branded it as For Those Who Inquired about 8 months
fight?
Ago.
You and Neil ever want to fight?
Yeah. Because, and not a bad way, but like, Neil, politically speaking, and who knows, that's one of those subjects we might roll into.
Maybe.
It's totally possible. You know, from a political standpoint, Neil and I are on different spectrums. But discuss it.
DJ and I are probably considered on different spectrums as well.
Yeah, we definitely discuss.
But I would say that out of the over the 170 episodes that we've done, how many times have we fist fought in the parking lot after? 50.
Yeah, I was going to say 40, 50, yeah.
Oh, no, wait a second. 40 out of 180, that's less than 25%.
Not that bad.
That's not bad.
But every now and then, I just want to beat the hell out of it.
Yeah, I mean, look at we all have punchable faces.
Yeah, you can't.
True.
You can't.
I mean,
look
you
at
drank
face.
Wine, you parked a Tesla, and I ate caviar.
Yeah, you're asking for.
We automatically have punchable faces.
And talking of, you know, getting back to how good we're doing, let me go ahead and read this email. Right?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Carlos sent us an email. Who is Carlos? I don't know.
Hello, Carlos.
About to be our new producer.
But he said, hope all is well. He says, I have some cool information that might interest you. All You Need to Know has good performance in Apple Podcast rankings for the last 30 days. Position 84 in the category comedy in the country of India.
We are the 84th ranked comedy podcast
in India.
That's incredible.
How about that?
So we've tried to figure out where...
It's legit.
Yeah, that's what it said. And in what region our fans are in India, we're hoping to take a trip.
Wait a second. That would be incredible. Nigerian princes offer me money all the time, and this princesses.
This is nothing like that. Carlos only wanted our social security numbers. He didn't ask for any
money. Okay.
But let's go ahead and get into the wheel spinning and the dice rolling.
Yeah, because we have so many other subjects.
I want to get to as many as we can today because we didn't get to as many as I wanted to in the part one of this, For Those Who Need to Know, podcast crossover event.
We opened with a wheel spin the first time. Are we opening with a dice roll this time?
You know what? That's good. Let's go ahead and open it up with a dice roll and see which topic. We've got over 50 to 100 topics available. The dice and the wheel are deciding what we talk about.
This is our fate.
Ed, you're the dice man. Roll them and let's see what we're going to talk about.
Sound good, doesn't it?
Oh, man, it sounds really good.
Do you guys want to play Dungeons & Dragons after this?
We've got enough dice, dude.
We do. Actually, I brought just enough for it.
Oh, 7 squared cube plus 98 hypotenuse.
Yeah,
I love a hypotenuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody loves a good hypotenuse. Gas prices.
Man.
I don't know if everybody loves the gas prices right now, though.
Too hot.
The gas prices too damn hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I could throw that one out there.
I said it.
Okay, yeah. I follow your lead. You know this.
So, that's a reference to Adam Redfern last week. Is that what that is?
Yes.
That was absolutely terrific. I just want to go ahead and tease that again. Where he literally was talking about Independence Day.
Yes.
He's exactly right. I can't argue with him. Even though I love history and I'd love to go into the nuance of why we created a country, he is factually not wrong. We left the British colonies, created our own nation because of taxation, because without of representation.
Yes.
He's not wrong.
Taxes were too damn high.
Too damn high.
We went and made our own damn country.
And we made our own damn taxes, too.
Yeah.
And now the taxes are even higher.
And we throw parties with... you know what? I'm going to say it. We throw parties with Bush Light and fireworks. Mm. That's how you throw 4th of July.
Really probably doesn't need to be in that order.
No.
Well, that's the most fun order.
It is the fun order until somebody gets hurt.
But you know what's damaged with some Roman candles.
You know what's not fun, though, is whenever gas prices go up, and people tend to get upset about that, Ed.
And DJ, obviously, I want you to clamber in this as well. I think for me, everybody likes to always say, well, every time Democrats and rain president, for whatever sensible sentence they say about it, that gas prices go up. And I think historically, that probably trends based on policy. That's probably a fair assumption to make. The frustrating part about it for me, at least this time around, is we don't really have a great base. Gas prices were so low during the coronavirus because there was such a surplus because we were not traveling.
Yeah.
Now gas prices are higher because of marketability. Gas prices are actually lower in Western Kentucky than they are and the national average. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I believe in Benton right now you can get it for about $2.75 as we approach the holidays. So it's one of those situations where for me, I don't necessarily like the politicizing of gas prices, but I understand why it naturally happens. Mm-hmm. It's just people think presidents have control of gas prices.
Yeah,
and I just. Yeah.
Like, there's just a little ticker on the president's desk.
Yeah, I'm going to lower that.
Like a little audio bar.
Yeah. I'm not worried, honestly. I don't care why it happens or if it is one or two people or if it's a bunch of people or circumstance, whatever it is. I've got a 2016 Nissan Altima. It should not cost me $45 to fill up my car.
So,
I've got a... it's a car. It's supposed to get good gas mileage. Almost every time I want to fill up my car.
I wish I could, jump in on this conversation, but like I talked about earlier, my Tesla is electric, so I don't really have to worry
about
it.
That's true.
Yeah, you don't, actually.
Yeah.
And really, that's the end game. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of people that are arguing.
We're getting there, right?
Yeah, we're getting there. It still takes more time, but
What happens when, all right, listen, most cars are electric.
You want to know what it's like? Is how we talked about in the last episode about Big Milk. Then you're going to have Big Gas and Big Oil being like, hey, what happened? I thought we had this all settled out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought we were the ones. Yeah. I mean, we control. We have the embargo. Look at the 70s.
So you just like the fall of Big Milk.
Yeah. I think, That's a great Star Wars reference, by the way. Great Star Wars reference. I think the frustrating thing for me is that, and this is obviously before all of our times, way in the dark ages, the 1970s, gas prices during the oil embargo were as high as they've ever been, maybe ever, just based on what minimum wage was at that point. Like, I've heard my mom even talk about how they ran like a trash route to make extra money so that they could put gas in the truck that they ran for the trash. Like, it was just wild. Yeah. Like, this circle of death that they were trying to, like, oh, how are we going to get gas? Well, we'll have a trash route. Well, how do we put gas in the truck? Well, we'll just get more trash.
Yeah.
And then run to more people's houses. Like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But it was like, at some point, there was like a net gain in that trash route that they ran. I completely have digressed, but I'm going back to the fact that even when oil embargo prices, people just need to remember, like, where we are from a cost of living standpoint in the United States. The national average for basic living wages, so to speak, minimum wage, you're looking at a situation where it's still affordable. Yeah, it's obviously 90 cents higher than it was a year ago when we couldn't go to groceries.
And people complain about it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen someone come up and be like, oh, $3 a gallon, and then just leave. Like, you have to have it.
Right, so you gotta buy it. It's like stamps. I don't understand why we complain about stamps. Like, I can tell you, I don't think I've ever bought stamps ever in my life.
They just show up.
And it goes
up. Like those strawberry candies at your grandma's house. And I can't remember,
there was some, I won't take credit. Right. I won't take credit.
Those candies aren't that bad, actually. They're
really good.
But there was some comedy bit that somebody did. And it was about a comedy bit by somebody dead. No.
I was like, all right.
But the whole point of it was like the way that older people talk about, like, golly, stamps went up again. You got to be kidding me. It's like, oh God, stamps must be expensive. Like, what? And you go and it's like $1.50, 51 cents. Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, I don't even know what it is.
It's not $1.50. It's
stamps are 50. I think they're 51 cents.
Like, yeah. 51 cents for stamps,
for a single single stamp. Yeah. So the book.
And
is...
how often are people really mailing stuff out? Unless you're mailing stuff from a business. Anyway.
Just email. Just use email.
Yeah.
But there are that older demographic that is, like Ed said, yelling about gas prices and stamps, and then still sending
the price of bread.
Yeah.
Milks. The prices of milk.
We already talked about milks.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, everybody likes to gauge the economy.
Let's go ahead and spin the wheel. I think it's time. We talked about gas prices.
Yeah,
that was good.
But that's what I'm saying. Everybody gauges price. Do we even have enough gas? Can we afford the gas to power the wheel?
I don't know.
It is a gas-powered wheel, which is not a great idea.
Make you think it's a gas-powered wheel. It's very quiet, though. I did have Taco Bell for lunch today.
I don't know what you just said, but let's go ahead and spin
it. I had Taco Bell for lunch, so I'm gassy. So it's gas-powered. All
right, what do we got here?
I'm making a mess of my britches, Quinn. The topic for this wheel spin is, what is the best Jolly Rancher flavor?
Watermelon.
You think watermelon?
Yes.
I'm the blue raspberry guy.
I've got three that I cycle through.
There's no bad choices, in my opinion.
So watermelon's a really good one. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily like an artificial watermelon guy.
I love watermelon.
It's good. It's really good. And you said blue raspberry?
I did.
They introduced that one later. The original Jolly Rancher did not have blue raspberry.
Ah.
I swear it.
Oh, that was a move then.
Yeah, power move. Yeah. And it worked. Mm. I would
what
have
were
to
the originals?
Red. Yeah.
I
went to reach for my cellular device
cherry,
to Google that. I don't know.
Sour apple. What are all the flavors? Cherry, sour apple, blue raspberry, watermelon. Is that it?
Pineapple's one, and that's what
I've never had a pineapple.
It's fabulous.
Really?
Pineapple and apple and the green apple are my two favorite.
I really like
sure.
sour and the green
apple. And also, since we're getting close to the Olympics here, I'll give a bronze medal to the grape.
The grape is sneaky. See, so the way that you said
good.
You didn't really like artificial flavors of watermelon stuff, I'm like that with grape because I feel like a lot of it tastes like grape medicine, like a cough medicine type thing.
Oh man, just give me a cup of Diamond Tap. I love it. Put it on ice.
Some Delsim, Sip on some Delsim.
Oh my God, grape Delsim. So it's amazing that you brought that up. I had a nasty cold this Christmas, and my wife always got me the orange Delsim, and I was like, God, do you just not care about me at all?
Yeah.
Knowing this, she got me the medicine. Of course, she cared about me. But I was like, honey, if you really care about me, give me the grape Delsum. Sure enough, grape Delsum is now the decongestant of choice.
That's but right.
We've digressed. Yeah. Back to our Jolly Rancher discussion.
Yeah, grape is a sneaky one. A grape Jolly Rancher is one that, like, yeah, I'll take that grape. But
yeah, you don't say no to it.
Right. I don't say no to any Jolly Rancher.
No.
Is there a bad... Maybe that's the better question. Is there a bad Jolly Rancher?
My least favorite Jolly Rancher is cherry.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I love a good cherry.
I'm the same way.
It's just a little too much for me.
I would, if I had to
pick... It's not as subtle.
No.
If I had to pick a least favorite, I guess it would have to be grape, but I still love the grape.
And this is... I don't even need to say this, but I thought about it, so now I'll say it out loud. That's what I usually do. And
that's how we work.
That's how it works.
That's a podcast.
All you need to know. Yeah, that's a podcast. For some reason, whenever I am... And as one does, sucking on a Jolly Rancher.
Why did you have as to I, say it like as that?
As I get towards...
the way you enunciate.
Yeah.
As I get to the end of the Jolly Rancher's duration. the way that I've approached this, just it does
That's
make
awful.
It...
awful.
It does make it sound interesting. But because it's getting...
Titillating.
Because it's getting smaller, I will, like, take the top and the bottom of the Jolly Rancher and then, like, crunch it down.
Bend it.
And bend it.
Well, if you don't, you're getting stabbed in the tongue.
Yes.
Well, nobody wants that.
The bending of the Jolly Rancher, is that something that other people do?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Especially because it's so malleable at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just becomes like a bendy, like a straw almost.
And I apologize.
It melts in your mouth.
I apologize for my phrasing. And there's another example.
Hey, no, it's just, you kick that off, I can run with it.
You brought in the five senses. You took me... to your Jolly Rancher experience.
Yeah, and I don't want to go back.
I felt like I was having a Jolly Rancher, and I don't have a Jolly Rancher.
Right? I don't.
I thought maybe you were going to say you felt like you were a Jolly Rancher.
No.
I don't. Whatever experience you were having with your Jolly Ranchers, I don't want to be a part of.
And yeah. I don't want to be a part of this conversation anymore, so let's go ahead and go through a dice roll.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's time
man.
For a dice roll to move on.
One final thing as we collect the dice here that we're trying to... mathematically determine our...
Let's see what we got.
I will say that a Jolly Rancher, guys, is a fine addition to an alcoholic beverage.
Ooh.
You can use it in a hooch.
Ah, great. Mm-hmm. That's a move right there.
It's a power move.
When you're in a pinch.
Yeah, you can let it soak all night.
Oh.
All right, big money, big money. Okay, we've got an 80, we've got a 12, we've got a 5.
Looks like...
Mm.
A Canadian bacon.
I don't think this is a hard question.
Are you sure?
Oh, well, now
it's a tough question.
All right.
So the question that is before us, fate has brought us,
mm-hmm.
Canadian bacon or pepperoni?
Mm-hmm.
And is that just in general or a pizza topping?
I think it's a general. It's a great, either one of them are great pizza toppings, but I think it's a general.
Pizza. I was thinking pizza topping. I don't know that I've ever had Canadian bacon by itself.
Let's break it down.
I love Canadian bacon.
Let's have it as a pizza topping, and then you can have it another way.
Hey, first off, before we dive into this, what is Canadian bacon, and why is it different than American bacon?
Well, I thought you were going to say, why is it different than ham? Because it's very similar to ham, but it's not ham, it's Canadian bacon, and that's right. The difference.
And is it really Canadian? Like, are people, like... if you go with pizza toppings, are people at Domino's and Papa John's, when they put Canadian bacon on their pizzas, when they get that shipment in, is that shipment coming from Canada? Is there a shipment of Canadian bacon coming from Canada?
That's a good question.
So I know we don't like to use Google. Why would we bring facts into our discussion?
No.
But I think it's for this one special occasion, we can discuss Canadian bacon.
Yeah.
Canadian bacon is officially back bacon. It is a cut of bacon that includes the pork loin from the back of a pig.
Mm-hmm.
It may also include the portion of pork belly in the same cut.
Oh,
it is much leaner than side bacon and is made only from the pork belly. Back bacon is derived from the same cut used for pork chops.
My whole mouth just filled with saliva.
Almost like when you eat a Jolly Rancher.
And I'm just thinking, you know, as Canadians, I think that they... You know, the Canadian people hold on to probably three things that they're very proud of.
Maple syrup.
Well, four things then. Maple syrup.
Wow.
Justin Bieber, Tim Hortons, and Canadian bacon.
I will say Tim Hortons coffee is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just an old man.
It's a Canadian culture, DJ. So, if you didn't know what Tim Hortons was,
I wish I could dive more into it.
And so I want to. We still haven't gotten to the question: do we choose Canadian bacon or pepperoni? The one thing that I will say: Canadian bacon by itself, just in a breakfast, or like maybe on an English muffin with like eggs Benedict, yeah, is terrific. But I will say, I don't know. I think it's a superior topping to pepperoni on a pizza.
It's hard to compare them against one another if you're not talking about pizza toppings, because of course, right, like Canadian bacon I associate with breakfast, pepperoni I associate with a pizza or some sort of Italian sandwich.
I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, I've never had Canadian bacon by itself that I know of, that I can recall. So the only way that I can go about this is pizza, and I refuse to pick between the two. I'm always gonna have both.
Okay. So like a meat lovers.
Yeah. Now if I had to choose, yes, like, meat lovers.
What is the commercial, the Del Taco, or I don't know if it's Del Taco, but it's that whatever, and the little girl says, why not both? Because they're trying to figure out if they're not hard shell or
something. Why should I have to choose between the two? Why not have both? Now, if for some reason I'm having to choose between the two, I've got a pizza and I can only have pepperoni or only Canadian bacon, I'm probably going to go pepperoni.
Yeah.
Man, and that's one of the questions that's on our spinner we may not even get to. What's better, soft shell or hard shell tacos?
Yeah. I hope we get to that one, but maybe we won't.
Thin crust, thick crust pizza. Just depends.
All right, got an answer for you there. Thin crust is trash.
I agree. I like a doughy crust.
But it makes you feel a little bit better when you eat a whole thin crust pizza. I can say that.
I don't care.
That's fair. If I want tomato on a cracker, I'll put tomato on a cracker.
That's a good point. It does taste like tomato on a cracker.
These are questions that I'm telling you, the spinner and the dice, limitless possibilities. It's like shaking a magic eight ball, except it's like a magic infinity ball.
Yeah.
Well, people don't understand how many topics we have on the wheel, and you know, we have this very interesting calculation system whenever we do roll the dice. And I'm sure that if you listen to the first part and you're listening to the second part now, Ed is doing math like nobody's business to try to figure out which one we're supposed to talk about.
I mean, I've been taking derivatives.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
And you don't even have a calculator.
It's no.
So
that's a Trigg County education finally coming through.
that's very proud. Trigg County education right here. I mean, for people from Trigg County should be very proud of Ed Marlowe doing all of this math so quickly in his head.
Well,
let's go ahead and give you a little bit of time off, though, because we're going to spin the wheel to see what we talk about.
I appreciate that.
And just to remind everyone, there is a section on the wheel that if it lands on, all of us get $500 a piece from our sponsor, whom we will not name, but they are helping us out. So let's see what we get here on the wheel spin.
Oh, money.
No! Went right past the money.
God,
Jesus! Really?
That was so close.
All right.
I drove all the way here to make no money.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? We're
still
we
got
do
a
that
couple
every
spins,
week.
Probably.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for 4 years.
Yeah. Here we got News Network Party Bias. This is one we don't touch on one much.
We don't talk a lot about politics.
These are the ones where Quinn and I...
Boo.
Yeah. We discussed global warming in a past episode, and that was pretty political.
Right. Yeah, that was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
but News Network Party Bias.
So I think because this is just something that you know we didn't talk about or we didn't really know we were going to discuss this today, but I'm assuming that's kind of pitting against one another CNN and Fox News, right?
Yeah,
I'd say in its most basic term, but I think the crazy thing about it for me is that CNN, when it first began, I believe in the early 80s, it was known as the Chicken Noodle Network. I mean, it's where you got your feet wet. I mean, it went by that reference because it didn't necessarily have a lot of clout, a lot of backbone to it. They were still trying to build their brand base.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter which way they leaned. Nobody took it seriously. I mean, that's pre even my date. You know, I was born in 85. Challenger exploded in 86. And so... I still feel like maybe I've got a memory there of watching that on television, but I would have been like 1.5. I don't. So news networks, from that perspective, you just have to reference history. And I think you don't really, you think about CBS News and you think about, you know, the type of history that CBS has built over, you know, since the invention of television. But the crazy thing is, really, the term yellow journalism came out of, like, the Vietnam War. So, I mean, party bias, I don't necessarily know, and maybe you two guys have a little bit more in depth on this, I don't necessarily know where party bias even came from.
when it started in television.
Like, I'm so surface level on this
just,
one.
But it did start at some point. That's right. We don't know when it started.
We don't. Yeah.
But now there's clearly division, and you have people on one side of the aisle watching a certain news network that affirms their beliefs, and then, of course, the other side, vice versa.
Well, and you've forgotten One News Network and Newsmax now both exist, too. And because of cable, they've now created somehow a different division within, you know, really, I would almost say the Republican Party. It's really interesting how, like, even those two networks have infuriated and inflamed specific party bases. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I understand the concept of, like, you don't want to sit and listen. Nobody really wants to sit and listen to somebody talk about stuff that they don't agree with. The problem is
it's good for you if you do, though.
Right.
But no one does want to do that.
Right. And a lot of times it comes from because of the way it's portrayed from the other side. So no matter what side you fall on, it just seems very opinionated and biased from the other side so much that you're like, screw that. I'm not listening to that.
That's a good
and
point.
I'll be honest with you, I don't listen to a lot of either side. Like I said, I don't have nearly enough knowledge to
comment
on a whole lot of this stuff. Which is why I stay out of a lot of political conversation.
Right.
I will say, I think my favorite portrayal of, like, different news networks comes when, in the movie Ted, when Mark Wahlberg's character as a kid wishes the teddy bear alive, and then it's alive, and now it's a big world news, whatever. And you got, like, they show all these different clips of it being reported. And you got, this one's that way, that one's that way. And then they get to the one who I can only assume is, like, a Fox News. And it's the guy just going, look what Jesus did! Look what Jesus did! Look what Jesus did!
My favorite portrayal of multiple networks has to be from Anchorman, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
When they all come on for the turf war.
Yes. Yeah,
that's fabulous. And then, like, Will Smith shows up and still, yeah.
Yeah, that was very well done.
I mean, parody aside, I mean, Quinn, your thoughts. I mean, obviously, you know, this is a situation where we're going to continue to have more networks created. We have the sound is on. The signal doesn't stop. We've gone from a 3-4 channel cable society to a 200 to 300 to 900 channel cable society.
Yeah.
We have online. We have YouTube. We have, everybody seems to have broadband. That's the next pitch. You know, that's the new information highway coming through America. What are your thoughts about news bias?
Well, and like I mentioned earlier, DJ and I usually don't like to touch on politics whenever we're having an All You Need to Know episode, like, but technically
Peter this Griffin is, and the chicken going
out. Yeah, this is a For Those Who Need to Know episode, so I guess we can break our rules that we usually have. I think that it would just be nice to have something that's news.
Just tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Without trying to make me believe one way or the other.
This happened.
Just present the news and make sure that it's covered fully and it's covered accurately.
Yep.
And there's no sort of bias.
I'm
against the news network party bias. And I am constantly, I'm trying to gather things from both sides.
Yeah.
But it would be nice, you know, AP News is, I guess, the best source that you can go to.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of people that are even mad at Reuters and AP News and BBC, you know, and you think about those three wires and what they've become. I'm not even attacking them. What my dream, you know, once I was out of the newspaper business, I looked at AP jobs for the last, you know, 6 months, and they just were frozen. They're just now opening back up, and a lot of world networks are really trying to get back on that train of, oh, hey, well, now we can travel again. Let's start reporting nationally and internationally.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say AP, Reuters, Wire Services, McClatchy is another one.
Yeah.
I would say are all fairly strong, unbiased sources, but you've got people that are angry. You're not sure. People stay angry, though.
People stay angry no matter what, and that's a good transition into, I think, the next topic, because people are probably angry that we aren't shifting through these topics fast enough, because we keep talking about how many we have, yet we aren't in a rush to get to the next one.
It's a dice roll.
So it is a dice roll.
Well, it's
we just
like,
did a wheel spin.
Hey, you know what? Nelson Mandela once said, move quickly but not in a hurry.
Yeah.
I think it was Nelson Mandela.
Was it Nelson Mandela Michael Scott?
Yeah, it might have been a Nelson Mandela Michael Scott.
Mm.
It's good. It's good. It's a good roll. Stuff. Yeah, it's a good roll. We've got ourselves a... Let's see.
I see a couple threes.
I see a, yeah, a couple threes. And there's a 97.
Oh!
That's huge. And here's... You know what happens when you hit a 97?
Yes.
Well, that's part of the equation for this question. Nicolas Cage's top three movies.
Okay. Oh. I like this one.
Oh. I mean, really. I mean, who's a better actor than Nicolas Cage?
I can't.
There aren't many.
Tom Hanks.
Well, we do love Tom Hanks.
We love Tom Hanks.
I love Tom Hanks. He's
DiCaprio,
such a good guy.
Honestly,
Tom Hanks better than Nick Cage, though?
The fact, I understand what you're saying. Maybe Tom Hanks doesn't devote himself to the roles like Nicolas Cage.
It's not even the same roles, though. Are they even equitable?
True. I don't know that you can really compare the two. That's true.
Could Nick Cage play Forrest Gump? Could Tom Hanks be in Con Air?
See, there's sometimes some roles are just built for different people.
Is Con Air one of your favorite?
Would you say
it's the top three?
Two movies that I'm immediately going to mention are Con Air and The Rock. And it's because they both have two of the greatest movie quotes of all time. Maybe not the greatest, most sound movies, but Con Air is, "Don't touch the bunny." And it's just, and he says this to John Malkovich, and it's just, who's, you know, terrifying in that movie.
I love John Malkovich.
John Malkovich is terrific.
Yeah.
We all forget just how, you know, that movie's got some scary moments in it. And John Malkovich is very menacing.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely one of my top Nick Cage movies. And then The Rock, he has the best quote where Sean Connery goes up to him and he's like, "I'll do my best." And Sean Connery's like, "Losers always do their best. Winners go home and, you know, F the prom queen."
Yeah.
And then he literally, like, Nick Cage literally takes a gun and he goes, "Carla was the prom queen." And it's just amazing. Like, and Carla, you know, being his wife that he was trying to get back home to, you know, as they take over Alcatraz and, you know, try to rat out this, like, neo-American, like, unit.
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't seen this movie, and now I'm going to have to.
You haven't seen The Rock?
Or Con Air.
What?
I've not seen a whole lot of Nicolas Cage movies.
Well, what are you going to add to it then?
I was going to add Gone in 60 Seconds. Oh, I love that movie.
Gone in 60 Seconds is good. What an all-star cast.
Yeah.
Angelina, Giovanni Ribisi. Absolutely unheralded in that movie.
I do love that movie. And then The National Treasures.
Two of mine are the National Treasure movies. National Treasure 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. So both of those make it in your top 2?
Yeah.
You know, actually, National Treasure playing in downtown Murray last couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. In a big crowd. A lot of people were out there.
Who wouldn't go to National Treasure?
Is it a national treasure?
Is National Treasure a national treasure?
I tell you what.
It's another subset of questions.
Yeah. The scene in Gone in 60 Seconds where they're getting ready to go out. Have you seen Gone in 60 Seconds?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you need to see
it. Oh, it's good.
I've got
that we've all seen different Nicolas Cage's movies.
The Ghost Rider. Have you seen Ghost Rider?
Ghost Rider, yeah, I've seen that.
I actually haven't.
Okay.
See, that's what I'm saying.
This is fantastic.
This is how good Nick Cage is.
My third favorite Nicolas Cage movie is the one that I've heard he's making where he's playing himself. Have you guys heard about that one?
It's not out yet.
No.
So... Apparently this is in production or in the writing process or some early stage, but it's some sort of situation where Nicolas Cage plays himself in a movie and there's some sort of dire situation where he has to play himself in the movie in order to achieve some sort of thing. It's a classic Nicolas Cage setup and I'm very excited to see it. I wish I had a little bit more information
on it.
That
sounds so odd.
As it comes out, Nicolas Cage will be playing himself in a movie about his life, I think.
Is he going to steal the Declaration of Independence?
You would have to think he does at some point.
Right.
But
or at least he's got it on file.
Yes.
Well.
There is one other movie that I would like to mention, and I'm glad I did another cheat here, just a slight cheat, where I Googled his movieography, because his discography, his filmography, whatever freaking word I was looking for. That was it. His filmography. Obviously, multi-talented man. We all like different movies that he's been in that we all haven't seen. That's how busy Nick Cage has been. Lord of War, a lot more of a serious movie. He is a gun arms dealer. He's an arms dealer, but it's like guns, bombs. That's why I was, you know, he does a little bit of everything. Jared Leto's in it,
really,
and Ethan Hawke is in it. It is fabulous.
Hey, not that this matters.
2005.
Did you know that Jared Leto is like well into his 40s?
Wow, thank you for. You know, I'm 36.
I'm just saying, like, you see Jared Leto, you're like. That guy's probably 30.
That's true.
He's like 15 years older than he looks.
Well, one of the topics that we could talk about.
I'm 15 years older than I look.
Jared Leto's Joker. So hopefully we get to that. We've only got
That's right.
A little bit of time left. And with that, we all kind of named our top three, right?
I had two. Gone in 60 Seconds and
National Treasure.
I guess Ghost Rider. Those three.
And Ghost Rider.
I had Con Air, The Rock, and like I said, no particular order, Lord of War. All great movies.
National Treasure, National Treasure 2, and then I'm going to go ahead and say that this one that he's coming out with.
It just sounds like something. We go back to John Malkovich. Being John Malkovich was very similar of a concept. It was literally just John Malkovich's conception of himself and creating that movie.
So I'm very interested.
Did you know that John Malkovich is either from somewhere near Aurora or has relatives that live in Aurora now?
Huh.
I can't remember which it is.
That's really interesting.
He's got a connection to home, baby.
In the region, yeah, the Western Kentucky
region.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, this is absolutely home.
It's a wheel spin. You ready, DJ?
Let's do it.
Get the wheel spin. This might be our last wheel spin. Let's get that money.
Money, no whammies. Not even close. Golly, yeah, I needed that for the gas on the way home.
I did too.
All right.
I'm going to have to beg for some gas money on the way home.
Topic on this one, best metal bands other than Metallica, which frustrates me because I don't like the fact that we cherry-picked that Metallica was...
Okay, well, you know what? Since we tend to
be open here, I'd say Metallica. The only reason that it's cherry-picking it, so to speak, is it's just so easy to say Metallica is good. I know not everybody likes Metallica. Not even everybody likes metal.
Yeah.
And then there's even the gatekeeping questions of well, what is metal?
Yeah.
Do you listen to the heavy stuff? Are you that metal? Okay, well, there's different levels of metal. Sure, mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's death metal.
Yeah.
And then there's life metal. You know, there's Christian metal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So Metallica, which has metal in its name.
Right.
I'll allow it. I'm going to make a pass here.
Yeah.
Are they a good metal band?
I think that they definitely are a good metal band. And I think most people, fans of metal, I won't speak for all metal fans. But it begs the question.
You at least give them their homage. You at least give them their homage.
I thought you said that they were Amish, and I was so confused.
They are Amish.
That
would have been wild.
I do want to hear an Amish metal rock band.
That'd be awesome. Back to Metallica, though.
Metallica's great, but the question I have is, what qualifies as metal? Because I don't like the stuff that's screaming, that sounds like it's ripping apart the lead vocalist vocal cords.
Yeah.
But Rage Against the Machine.
Okay, so I would almost say Rage is probably Rage is not pop.
Not like
but
there are portions of Nickelback that...
Yeah,
that are close to metal.
That's
I'd say they have moments where they kind of try to attack that electric, sound that just rips rib cages apart.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Rage is probably industrial or even borderline new metal almost. I want to see how they actually categorize themselves.
What about the '80s hair bands?
See, that's hair metal. And that's stadium rock. That's certainly a genre of metal.
So you got pieces and different portions of metal here. That's where I get confused because used to be when I was little, metal. I guess I get this from my dad is probably where I got that, and it's not like that anymore in my mind. But used to be metal was screamo, understand what they're saying.
Yes.
See, so they actually describe themselves, well, first of all, they're revolutionary and political, of course, they describe themselves as that. Makes sense. I love Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, I do too.
But I'd say that they describe themselves rap metal and rap rock or funk metal, which I could see metal.
They do have a nice little bass line in a lot of their songs.
But that's Tom Morello, man. Tom Morello is incredible, but I would have to say best metal bands other than Metallica, but obviously Metallica, you just automatically crown them as one of the better metal bands. Megadeth is in that conversation. Iron Maiden is in that conversation. I mean, you absolutely bring in bands like Seven Dust and Rage Against the Machine. Then you got to bring in newer stuff, you know, like obviously, you know, Korn and Limp Bizkit had like that new metal.
Man, I love some Limp Bizkit stuff.
Yeah, had like that new metal feel in like the mid-90s and early 2000s. Jonathan Davis and Korn are still rolling now.
Avenged Sevenfold.
Avenged Sevenfold.
I do love a lot of Avenged Sevenfold.
It was technically metal back, you know, back in the day. And they're still creating music. And then obviously, I mean, I'm not kidding when I say there's Christian metal. I mean, August Burns Red is absolutely Christian metal, and they're fabulous, and their time signature is absurd, you know. But then you have like Tool, that's like industrial.
Yeah.
But I mean, Maynard James Keenan is absolutely metal. I mean, there's so many different levels of it.
Yeah, and just for me, because the amount of metal that I digest as far as the music genre, I would say that my favorite metal band would be Fleetwood Mac. And I know that's a stretch. But they do. I mean, you can't argue that at some points they are playing metal instruments.
Okay.
There's right. Quinn.
Well,
Quinn has an amazing
If I had to pick one, I'm going back to the hair metal. And, oh, goodness gracious, I just went completely and totally blank.
Well, I mean, there's Poison, there's Rat, there's...
Motley Crue.
Motley Crue
is my... If
Home Sweet Home, yeah.
Alice Cooper.
Hey, you know who...
Cinderella.
Yeah.
Listen, I hate to wrap that part up, but it looks like if we want to squeeze one more topic in, we can. It'd be a dice roll.
Holy moly!
Let's get the dice roll!
Great googly moogly.
Yep, and Ed, if you don't mind, as you roll it, try to do the math, like, as you're rolling it, just to speed up the process.
Yeah. Oh, man, that just, you hate it when it...
Oh, yeah.
Well, I rolled 200s, so... I'm going to have to say it's the greatest question we've had over these last 2 weeks.
This is in the top tier of questions.
How many chickens would it take to kill an elephant?
I like this.
How many chickens would it take to kill an elephant? A number.
I've been doing so much math, I'm going to have to...
Yeah, take a breather for a second, DJ, and I'll tackle it.
You just want me to throw out a number?
One elephant... How many chickens would it take to take it?
What age is the elephant? Is it a young male?
A full-grown elephant.
It's a full-grown elephant. It's a mature elephant.
Male or female?
Does that matter?
I don't want to be misogynistic here. Well, I feel like a woman would be stronger than the man.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Say that the elephant doesn't, you know, identify with any gender.
Okay, so non-binary elephant.
Yes.
Full-grown non-binary elephant.
So, with that in mind, DJ, how many chickens would it take?
I'm going to have to say at least 25 million.
That's high.
That's a high number. What plan of attack would anything less than 25 million chickens have against an elephant?
I'm telling you, and I really feel strongly about this, if you get 300 chickens ready to go, that'll do it.
I think that 300 chickens done in one stomp.
No.
What is it?
They can paw? Peck?
Is it a hoof?
I don't know. That's a
good question. It's bigger than question. It's far bigger than.
I don't think it's paw.
Also, you also got less. How big are the chickens? Are we talking about?
They're like, mature chickens as well.
So we're talking about like maybe.
Are they male or female chickens?
They don't identify with genders either.
Gosh dang it!
I think it's 300 chickens.
This is incalculable.
There's no way.
300 chickens would take down an elephant.
300 chickens is
how many that would be surrounding an elephant. You get the legs down. It's like whenever in Star Wars they start flying around what are those things called that walk around in their very
walkers?
The walkers.
ATATs.
You get chickens. You get chickens down there around the feet of the elephant, trying to trip them up. You get one down, then they start pecking.
I have worked growing up, and my brother works there now. Our uncle has 4 chicken barns. Each chicken barn holds 3,000 chickens. So that's 12,000 right there.
That's some quick math.
I could walk through each one of those barns, and yeah, it is. That's about the quickest math I can do.
No, but these chickens are angry.
I could slaughter. I don't care if they're angry.
These chickens are angry. All right, then to make your point a little bit easier to handle, right, because you're saying 25 million chickens, not even 12,000 apparently would be able to take down an elephant. Give half of them a butter knife.
What is a chicken going to do with a butter knife?
It knows how to use it. It's been trained.
Okay, well, now we've got a different story. If a chicken knows how to use the weapon, if they have weapons and they can use
them. Don't get into it. Just chickens with butter knives that know how to use them. Half of them have the butter knife, half of them don't. How many chickens does it take to kill an elephant?
Okay, so the chickens on the front line without the butter knife, and then you got the chickens coming in with cavalry with the butter knives.
Now we have leadership within the chickens.
Yeah, so now we've got
there are ranks among the chickens. If they know what they're doing.
Yeah, if we're talking about like not just chickens with their head cut off running around, I'm going to drop it to 10 million.
10 million. So high. That's so high.
I think the only chance that any group of chickens is going to have is to suffocate that elephant.
No, I said 300 chickens without the butter knives.
Yeah, I can't imagine what 25 chickens?
I mean, you guys have both presented some really deep arguments, and the only thing that I can think of, my reference, is the angry chickens from Zelda Link to the Past, Super Nintendo. You know, when Link, you know, attacks a chicken, when you attack a chicken, and then you keep attacking that chicken, it's near his house. You guys have played this game, right? No?
Probably. I know what you're talking
about. Okay, yeah, he attacks a chicken, you can do that, and then all of a sudden these angry chickens start pecking and they never stop. They kill Link. This is the man that takes down Ganondorf, you know,
which is a big deal.
Huge deal. And these chickens take out Link. So I'm thinking about, if they can take down a man who can rescue the Triforce and save Princess Zelda and take down Ganondorf, how many chickens does it take to take down a really strong elephant? I'm gonna have to say like 37.
37 chickens.
I'm going to say way less than 10 million. I'm going the exact other spectrum. I just think chickens can be a menace.
37 well-placed chickens could definitely take out an elephant.
Absolutely.
I just don't see it.
Well, DJ, it's like the Rebel Alliance back at Hoth. How many rebels were at Hoth? Just a few hundred.
Have you not?
And they escaped safely by taking out those chicken walkers.
Yes.
Have you guys not seen the videos of the elephants? They grab a paintbrush with their trunk and they're painting pictures, literally like visible pictures.
So perfect. The chickens are training, the elephants painting, and then they catch them whenever they least expect it. That's a great point.
You're talking about how smart the elephant is.
Yeah. Chickens are so dumb.
I'll give you that, but I just feel like 37 chickens that like run in the way of an elephant, the elephant's gonna be like, what the hell is this? And then it falls over, peck an eyeball out, and you got...
No intelligence. I will say
elephants got some weak points that they can't protect.
Yeah, those love handles. The chickens go for the love handles on the elephant, and then they're done. You get them down on the ground, it's over. 300 chickens.
So you said 300. I said 37. You said 10 million.
I said 25 million to start.
That's true.
10 million lower. Chickens that can use butter knives.
You cut it by quite a bit.
Well, maybe we'll put that out and see what the viewership thinks is how many chickens would it take to kill an elephant. Mm-hmm. But that we're going to have to wrap this episode up. So I would love to continue to talk about the chickens.
This is devastating. I mean, we're going to need 15 more episodes.
Mm.
We won't do part 3 for now, but we will leave it open for a possibility in the future.
Well, you know what? Maybe we can take some reader and listener questions.
I think that would be really good.
I like that.
Reader questions on Twitter.
Yes. Mm.
And listener questions for the podcast.
So if you enjoyed these episodes, For Those Who Need to Know, make sure to send us some messages via the For Those Who Need to Know Twitter or...
You know what? You can buy...
For Those Who Inquire.
Buy a stamp. And send it. It's only 51, 52 cents. Yeah.
We touched on that. Have a glass of milk and send us... something using a stamp, and there you go.
I think it's a great idea.
This has been fun, though. I really enjoyed this podcast crossover event. I'm sure a lot of people will be just raving about it.
Here's the thing. If you didn't like it, don't tell us.
Yeah.
We don't care. I don't care.
Please don't.
Yeah. My dad
tells me he doesn't like my podcast all the time, and that's enough for me.
Yeah. My dad doesn't tell me anything. I haven't seen him in 31 years.
All right. Well, I apologize for bringing up a sore spot. But that's going to do it for this episode of For Those Who Need to Know. As Ed and DJ try to get it together, my name is Quinn Eaton.
I'm DJ Pig. I'm Edward Marlowe. I'm dying.
This has been For Those